welcome to show number 21 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by sportscardradio.com. What's going on, everybody? Hopefully everybody's having a great day out there. We've got a lot to talk about today, so let's get started. As you might have heard in the beginning, sportscardradio.com is going to be our new site for this show. Check it out. I'm on free hosting right now, so when you see it, it really should be beta.sportscardradio.com, because I haven't done more than maybe about 4 hours of work on it. But check it out. Let me know some of the things you want to see on there. Do you want a forum? Do you want places to show off your cards? Do you want your own profile? Do you want to create your own blog? Some of the things that we already have kind of in the works on there. Obviously, all the shows, all the show archives, and things like that. We're going to have all of those, obviously. We have all the addresses. You know, Mike from Indiana sent me an email, and he said, there's not really a good place to find all the addresses kind of all in one places if you want to get autographs through the mail, TTM autographs. I was going to be lazy. I was just going to point you to a link to a page with all the addresses on it, but there really isn't a whole lot out there, especially presented kind of in a decent way. So I'm going to grind it through. It's going to take me a couple hours to get all the pictures and everything up there, but it's going to be a complete listing of all the major teams, and I'll dip into the minor leagues as well and provide those links. And we have some great listeners. We have a couple listeners that have sent me huge through-the-mail collections through some big names, Muhammad Ali, Barry Sanders, huge scores through the mail. And they might have used a little bit different address for that. I don't feel 100% comfortable putting those addresses on the web, but we'll probably have a members area where we can post things like that. So it's not, totally everybody on the internet can get it, but people that we know that listen to the show will be able to access this area, and we'll be able to share maybe a little bit more there. So let me know. Check out the site, sportscardradio.com. You can do it also, actually not yet, but if you're thinking, oh, I'm gonna get Colin, I'm gonna get him, I'm gonna do sportscardsradio.com and set up my own site. Well, you'll notice that domain's taken as well. So I got both. I'm going to be able to redirect you both times. So if you do Sports Card Radio for now, it'll get you to our site. It's kind of a test run. Let me know some of the things you want to see. We can pretty much do anything. Anything you see on any site, we can pretty much pull it off. Send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Send me an email. Let me know what you want to see. Don't forget also our contest. Our contest is going to end, let's see, it's the 13th. Guess what? It is actually my birthday today, January 13th. Tuesday, January 13th, 2009. It is my birthday today. Also, my driver's license expired. I noticed that I rented a car a couple days ago because I wanted, I got this old car. It's kind of tough to drive around, long distances and that thing. It's not really made to do that. So rented a car. And he was like, when are you returning this? And I said, Monday, yesterday. And he said, oh, that's good because your license expires on Tuesday. And so I was like, oh, man, I didn't even realize it. I haven't got anything from the DMV. Well, lo and behold, I look on the address on my driver's license, which I probably should check a few more often than, the day it expires. But it's from an address from an apartment I lived in about 4 years ago. So need to find out. I bet they sent the renewal notice there, and it never forwarded its way to me. So I'm gonna have to call the DMV, get my license renewed. Wow, that's gonna be a little interesting. But don't forget, we have a contest. Ends in 2 days, January 13th. 2 days from now, January 15th, I will draw a winner. We have about 20. It might be a little bit more than that. People that have contacted me, thank you for everyone that has entered. I really appreciate your comments. I appreciate the good ones very much. I appreciate everybody that has complimented me on the show, but I also appreciate things that you want to see done differently or things that you might want to see added to the show. And I really want to thank you for that. And I will take all those considerations to heart and we will be working on it. So don't forget our contest. Listen to last show, show number 20, on how to enter. But basically, send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. That'll at least hook you up with one entry. We got a fatty stack of cards ready to be sent to you. Well, okay, what do we got on tap for today's show? First, our main topic is probably going to be, we got an emailer. I'll have to go through when we pimp the topic in its full segment. But an emailer sent me an idea, and I've thought about this before, and I've wanted to do a show on this, but it's basically fantasy sports and then collecting cards and kind of how that all gels together. And it's no coincidence that fantasy football has really taken off, and so has the NFL. And, you know, rotisserie baseball has been around for probably the longest. I want to say that was probably one of the first sports, if not the first sports, to do this kind of thing. I remember seeing ads in the newspaper pre-internet, which predates most people that listen to this show. But pre-internet, that you used to be able to sign up for rotisserie baseball via, like, baseball magazines and, you know, ads in newspapers and things like that. So I remember seeing that, and then football really got big several years ago, and the NFL has taken off, I think, in large part because of it. Obviously, there's a lot more to do with it, but fantasy football does have its piece in the pie. So we'll talk a little bit about that, what it has to do with card values and player popularity, which really go hand in hand. If a player's popular, chances are he's going to have some very valuable cards. If he's not very popular, or if he's out of favor in the public, chances his cards are going to be a little bit different in value. So two things you want to keep an eye on. We'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about error cards. Excuse me. Can't flow over that word, man. I tell you what, error cards. So back in the day, error cards still happen, and they're not quite as appealing as maybe they once were. But we'll talk about those. A lot of older collectors are, you know, kind of collectors that are my age, you know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore, especially after today, but we remember error cards. I remember having a few that were worth a lot of money, and there's one in particular I think is maybe one of the most famous. There's several that are famous, but one that has held its value somewhat over the years. We'll talk about that as well. We'll also talk about the new Beckett's. I don't remember what show it was, but I said I wasn't going to go back to Beckett till 2009. Well, the other day, I was searching around for some things to talk about in the show, and remembered that I hadn't been to the new Beckett site. So I checked that out. We will talk about that. But first thing is first, let's kick it off with just a little bit of news. Let's see. First annual grading card and auto authentication event is going to be January 31st in Dallas, Texas. So if you live in the Texas area, obviously Texas is a massive state, so you've got to live near Dallas, which I think is near the kind of southeast end of the state. I could be totally wrong. I don't know, but I drove through the north end of Dallas. It's a massive, massive state. So if you live near Dallas, January 31st, I think that's like the week of the Super Bowl. It's a Saturday. They're giving a free seminar on grading and autograph authentication. I think JSA is also going to be there. They're going to basically kind of give you an insider's look on what kind of things they look for in terms of, you know, authenticating autographs and grading cards. And it's really cool. So if you live in Dallas, Texas, or if you're balling out of control and you can warm up the Learjet and fly out there on January 31st, it'd be pretty cool. You want to go to beckett.com/gradingseminar09. So check that out, RSVP by January 28th. Again, it's free. And if you have some cards you want to grade, I think you can bring them. You probably have to pay the normal service price, but at least you're not paying shipping at that point. So pretty cool. You want to check that out. We have football this weekend. You know, I remember one of my friends, I remember last year, everybody always, when it was, I was running my store, everybody would come in and want to ask me, oh yeah, who's winning the Super Bowl? Who's going to the Super Bowl? And I was, at that time, I remember it was before the Giants and the Patriots were in the Super Bowl. I was like, you know, I have no idea who's going to win the Super Bowl. It's always somebody who gets hot the last 3 weeks of the season. You never know. Nobody would have picked the Giants at any point last year, even in the Super Bowl game. Barely anybody picked them unless you were from New York or you're a fan. So I said the same thing this year. I had my roommate, had everybody ask me who's going to be in the Super Bowl. And I honestly said it was going to be the Ravens and the Cardinals. And everybody was looking at me like, what? You're crazy. And I was like, this was before the Ravens had even beat the Titans. So I just felt it. We'll see if it happens. We've got the Cards and the Eagles. Nobody would have picked either of those two teams, even when the playoffs started. So it's crazy. On those teams, you have Larry Fitzgerald on the Cardinals. I really love Larry Fitzgerald. His hobby love has kind of been fairly steady, and it's about to explode because this guy's on a national stage, especially if they manage to get to the Super Bowl. That game's a toss-up. I have no idea who's going to win that game. I think it's in Arizona, too. So it's amazing how quickly teams can turn it around. There are the Cards and the Eagles, two teams that people hated on. Another guy on the Eagles, Donovan McNabb, he's like this year's Eli Manning. Eli Manning, I remember last year, was in the dumps. The Giants were doing really bad. I think they were thinking about benching Eli. McNabb actually got benched. And now here he is in the NFC Championship game. So it shows you how quickly things can turn. I mean, it is changing faster than the seasons here in the NFL. So we have the Cardinals and Eagles. Dude, you have to watch that game. I don't really care. I don't even have cable, and I'm going to stream that baby in. Steelers and Ravens. Boy, this is going to be a beast of a game. These two teams, I obviously see them, both of them, twice a year. I watch every single Bengal game. They play them each twice. We always lose to both of these teams. We may have beaten. No, we didn't beat either of these teams. Trust me. Both these teams, severely punishing defenses. This game's going to be, I would take, gosh, I bet the under has got to be like 21 in this game. It might be even less than that. It's going to be ridiculously low scoring unless something crazy happens. You might have some big plays, and that's probably what's going to decide the game. If there's a big 70-yard pass or a big 60-yard run, something like that, that might turn the tide in this game. Because if a team goes up by 10, if the Steelers go up by 10 or the Ravens go up by 10, it's going to be tough for the other offense to get back in the game. But both teams are capable. The Steelers obviously have Ben Roethlisberger and Hines Ward, two outstanding players, and Willie Parker seems to be healthy now. They have him and a stable of running backs who are going to be able to run the ball for the Steelers, even against the tough Ravens D. And the Ravens have that young kid, Joe Flacco, and we'll talk about his card prices in a little bit, but boy, this guy has taken this team all the way in his rookie year. We'll see if he can take them to the Super Bowl. Again, my call before, even I wish I had done a show, but I've been kind of tied up with doing a bunch of other stuff. But I wish I had done a show. I would have called the Ravens and Cardinals before the semis last week. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But let's jump in. I'm going to talk about what's coming out later this week. If you check out sportscardradio.com, I set up a calendar. It's pretty cool. I set it up in Google Calendar. This allows me to change it in my Google account, so it's something very easy for me to change. Google Calendar is still in its beta mode, and as you check out the calendar, you'll kind of see it's very simple. But on sportscardradio.com, check out on the left menu, we've got, I think it's like card release dates or something like that, box release dates. Click on that, you'll notice a little Google Calendar I've set up, and I've tried to plug in the dates, and I'll be able to update it. It's pretty easy to update. The only thing I don't like is all the little tabs have to come in the same color, and I think I should be able to change the color. Haven't figured out a way to do that. I don't think Google maybe has that capability yet on their calendars, but I'm sure it's something they're working on. And if it's not, I'm going to send them an email, because let me tell you something about Google. Just as a tool, we're going to go off topic here for a second, so fast forward if you don't want to hear me blabber on. But Google is a very interesting company. They're still in the startup. I mean, their stock is worth a lot because there's not a lot of it out there. But it's a very young company. A lot of their stuff, Google Finance is still in its beta stage. Gmail is still pretty young, although it's out of its beta stage. But Google Calendar is very young. They have Google Docs. They have all these things you can do with Google, and I'm starting to use it a little bit more. They're much more than a search engine. They're mainly an ads and like pay-per-click company. That's where 90% of their revenue comes from. But they're an interesting company. The whole point of this whole story is I'm thinking about emailing them about Google Calendar and being like, yo, this is what I'm doing. I want to be able to have different colors Because I want to have like maybe like blue for baseball, red for football, and like green for basketball or something like that. But I have to do them all in one color. So I want to be able to make it so you can glance at the calendar. And if you're a basketball fan, you can kind of see what's up. That's kind of what I'm doing. So I'm going to email Google. And I did it a while back. I invest in some stocks. And so I have Google Finance because I think it works pretty well. It's pretty simple. But I had a stock that changed its symbol and it didn't change over on my Google Finance. And I went to Yahoo Finance, went to all these other ones, and it had changed over. So I emailed Google and I explained the problem to them. Not 10 minutes later, it was fixed. I mean, I don't know if it just would have fixed itself on its own and I had just had crazy timing, but I sent them an email through their little contact thing. It said, we will probably not respond to you, but we read every email. So I sent him an email, and now 10 minutes later, my Google Finance was fixed. So amazing company. I'm going to email them about this calendar, but check out sportscardradio.com. Send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. What do you want to see on the website? We'll make it happen. Okay, let's talk about a couple card prices. Before we get onto a box release, we'll probably break it out because I'm getting a little short-winded, but I'm going to run through a couple card prices for you. Playoff Contenders Football blasted off last week. Remember, it has those basketball rookie contenders. And an interesting side note to all that is 09 Playoff Contenders Baseball is in the works. So keep an eye on that if you're a baseball fan. Playoff Contenders Baseball more than likely will be a box and a set this year that you will be able to buy. So that's exciting. I'm pumped up about that. But Playoff Contenders Football has those basketball rookies, O.J. Mayo, Derrick Rose, and Michael Beasley. Ooh, we got, hopefully you guys don't hear that. We've got sirens going off. I live right by a fire station, so if I'm doing this podcast every once in a while and you hear, like, huge alarms going off, it's not me getting robbed. It's just I live right across the street from a fire station, so they're doing their work. God bless them. So, anyways, back on topic, O.J. Mayo, Derrick Rose, Michael Beasley, Playoff Contenders, rookie autographs in the football set. Pretty cool. They're worth a little bit of money. You're looking at a box for this stuff. It's less than 115 ship. So you keep that in mind with all these prices. OJ Mayo Contenders autograph looks like it's selling between 60 and 90 on eBay. Derrick Rose is selling a little bit more, 70 to 90. I didn't see anything sub 70. And Michael Beasley, interesting. Everything's sub 50 on him. So he's kind of the deal out of the three. Derrick Rose is selling very strong. I love OJ Mayo. He is like a get his first kind of guy. And that's the kind of guy you want. We'll talk about fantasy basketball and baseball later. And O.J. Mayo is one of the best fantasy basketball. I bet he's one of the best rookies, if not the best rookie. I want to say in my league, he's in the top 30 players. And that's pretty darn good for a rookie. So I like O.J. Mayo, 60 to 90. Pretty cool card. It is a sticker autograph. But it looks kind of cool. It's out of a football set. Who knows how many there are of them. You'll be able to find that out later. If you follow Playoff Contenders, they always kind of release stuff. And I don't know if that's the case this year. I haven't gotten a Beckett yet. But they usually release the print runs later on. They let the kind of product kind of get opened up, let people kind of discover the short prints, what autographs aren't coming out, and then they release a print run. And sometimes you see some really surprising print runs and cars soar up in value. And some, there's a lot more than some people thought, so they kind of dip down. So very interesting product. Early on, it's very fun to kind of collect Playoff Contenders. And I'm sure baseball will be even nuttier. They'll have some real cool short prints if they do it right. Now for the football side, I mean, you're buying a football box, so you're going to want to get something cool. Chris Johnson, I think we shouted him out, the Titans running back. He had a great game, and I think he got banged up. They happened to lose, but hopefully you listened to the show before you saw that game and you saw how explosive he was in that game when he was able to play. It looks like he has a rookie redemption. It's going for 70 to 125 on eBay, varying price range depending on when you bought it. My guess is if you buy it in the next few months, you should get it in that $70 range, maybe a little bit less. As they get redeemed and you start seeing the true versions, I'm sure he's probably waiting till after the season to sign him. So you'll be able to scoop them then. Matt Ryan, this kind of blew me out of the water. I figured Chris Johnson was going to be pretty hot. He was in the playoffs. He was doing really well. I know Matt Ryan was in the playoffs and they lost. His autograph, he doesn't have redemption, so his is straight on the card. It is a sticker autograph, I do believe. Matt Ryan autograph, 250 plus on eBay. So if you pop one of those babies, you're paying less than 115 a box shipped. This is on eBay. So that's pretty good. $250 Matt Ryan autograph. Now, his counterpart, Joe Flacco, baby, he's still throwing the ball. He's going to be playing this Sunday. Joe Flacco, autograph, 160 to 200. Expect that price to soar. It'll be very interesting to see if the Ravens beat the Steelers. I'm quoting you a price. I went through, looked at all the completed auctions. The lowest was about 160. The high was about 200. If they make the Super Bowl, I guarantee you, you can add 50 probably to both those numbers. So we'll see what happens with JoJo. But that's kind of the highlights out of playoff contenders. After this short break, we're going to break down a couple products that should release this week or next week. And I've got some that are coming out at the end of this month, and we'll devote an entire show to one of those products. So you know it's going to be a huge one. And that's all coming up after this.
Head underwater, and you tell me to breathe easy for a while. The breathing gets harder, even soon to see.
And we are back. We're going to cover some of this week's release dates. This is the week of 112, January 12, 2009. First thing is first, Upper Deck SPX Hockey. For all you icicle fans out there, SPX Hockey. Pretty cool box coming out this week. Expect to pay about $100 a box, maybe a little bit less, a little bit more. Each box of 18 packs, 4 cards per pack. Each box is going to have one rookie card, one autographed rookie jersey card, one single jersey card, and one dual jersey card. And there's all kinds of like spectrum and all kinds of other parallels and inserts in this set. It's not broken down quite similar. You remember like football and baseball, you get one hit per pack and it's like $150 a box. 18 packs, 4 cards per pack. It's more like the traditional SPX product that doesn't have a hit per pack. So don't expect to pay 100 and be getting 18 hits. Looks like you're going to get about 4 of them. And you're going to get one autographed rookie jersey card that looks like it's going to be the sweet score in the whole set. Not too privy on hockey rookies, but if you are, you want to check out that product. UD Premier Baseball. We might have blown through this product very quickly. One pack, 7 cards per pack. Expect to pay about, you know, $200, $225 per box pack. You're only getting one card each pack, so you're paying $225 for this. You get one autographed rookie jersey card, number to 199 or less, or number to 75 or less, which will be a patch version. You're going to get one premier stitching patch card, which is probably pretty cool, and it's going to be number to 50 or less. You're going to get a one autograph card number to 50 or less, and there's all kinds of other parallels. You're going to get one jersey card, and there's all kinds of like dual and triple version. There's quadruple versions. There's crazy ones. And you're going to get one jersey patch card. You're going to get one rookie or veteran card number to 99 or less. You're going to get one autograph number to 50 or less, and there's all kinds of multi-swatch. This thing is absolutely loaded. $225 a box. Extremely expensive. High gamble. I don't know if you want to risk it on that, but look for singles of UD Premier Baseball coming out this week. And if you're a high roller, roll the dice. Send me the scans of what you got. We'll put them on sportscardradio.com. Next thing, very intriguing product, Topps American Heritage Baseball. I don't know if we touched on this briefly on a previous show, but we will talk about it now. Obama's quote-unquote rookie card in this set. I've seen the previews. Pretty cool. Looks like it's like an old photo of him. I know that he played high school basketball. He might have played college basketball. I'm not really sure. But it has an old photo of him. And that will be a very hot product. 24 packs per box. 8 cards per pack. All kinds of things. You get 2 autographs or relic cards per box. My guess, it's kind of a one-in-one kind of thing. The the uninspiring boxes will probably be the two relics, and there'll be a handful of probably two autograph boxes, and those will be the nice ones. We'll see how it breaks down. You never know with these companies. They say two autographs or relics per box, kind of maybe to protect themselves. If they happen to have a lot of autographs just sitting around, or they happen to have a lot of players turn them in, which could be the case in the off season, then they load it up in autographs, and collectors are pleasantly surprised. Look to pay about 70, maybe less, maybe a little bit more, depending on how the Obama rookie card is doing. My guess, I have no idea. My guess it's going to be like a Jeter thing. It'll be very Jeter Mantle Bush. If you remember that card, that was going for like hundreds of dollars, and then like 80 and 90, and now it's selling, I don't know, probably less than 10 for sure. And I'm sure the Obama rookie card will be extremely hot, especially the first ones on the forums and on eBay and places like that. And it'll drive the prices of the box up early. And you might want to wait, unless you get a very good price early. Pull the Obama rookie, sell it. You'll cover yourself maybe on half the box. My guess is they'll sell in the $20 range. Could be more, could be less. But my guess is that's what people will be willing to pay for them. I know a couple of Obama supporters that will be looking to buy that card. Very interesting. Very interesting product. Next product, TriStar product. TriStar has an interesting distribution channel. Can't always get them through every sports card store or online dealer, but TriStar makes some really cool products. They get some really interesting baseball, and they get a lot of these minor league guys. They come out with these things. It's called Just Minors Mystery Baseballs. You get one autographed baseball. It's not a baseball card. It is an actual official Rawlings baseball. So you get one autographed baseball, two autographed cards, and one complete set per box. And what's the price on these things? Let me scroll down a little bit. $45 per box packs. TriStar prices their things very reasonably, and it's because it is loaded with a lot of minimal mid-range guys. Expect to either really hit it big or kind of miss on TriStar products. But for $45, you're getting an autographed baseball. The baseball alone is worth $10. And depending on who signs it, who knows, could be worth a lot. They have people, autographs of Evan Longoria, that's a tough name to say, Josh Hamilton, Carlos Quinton, David Price, Joe Mauer, Armanis Ramirez, Miguel Cabrera, Adam Jones, Felix Hernandez, all kinds of guys. Jay Bruce, I mean, Colby Rasmus. Huge, huge, if you can hit one of those. And then they have these one each, like, case. I don't know how many come in a case, but one black autographed baseball. They have these real Rawlings black baseball, so it's a black baseball autographed in gold. Those are going to be 1 in 10 boxes. Looks like that's the hit on those. That would be a huge one. If you got, like, an Evan Longoria or a Josh Hamilton or, like, a Jay Bruce or any of those guys, man. And there's going to be lots of rookies in it, so check it out. You get two other random autograph cards, and you get a 2008 Just Autographs or 2008 Justifiable set. So that's just a little throw-in, but at least you get some cards. And the big, big hits are going to be the Mickey Mantle autograph baseballs, and there's two Mickey Mantle autograph baseballs, JSA authenticated, and so one of two. If you pop the Mickey, you would have paid about $40-$50. There's all kinds of other things. There's dual and triple sign baseballs. Interesting product. Check around for it. It's sometimes tough to find on eBay, sometimes tough to find around, but look around for it. TriStar makes some interesting products. Well, after this, we are going to hit it up. We're just going to break it into our main topic, which is going to be fantasy sports and how that relates to cards and how kind of the price range and some of the player popularity relates to the both. And after that, we're going to talk a little bit about error cards, and then we'll close the show talking about the new Beckett site and when I checked it out, what I thought about it. And we will talk about fantasy sports and your sports cards after this.
Probably slow dancing with a bleach blonde tramp, and she's probably getting thirsty right now. He's probably buying her some fruity little drink, 'cause she can't shoot whiskey right now. He's probably up behind her with a blue stick, showing her how to shoot a combo, and he don't know. I dug my key into
And it is time to talk a little bit of fantasy sports and how it relates to cards. Honestly, I'll give you my background playing fantasy sports. I've played fantasy football for the last at least 5 years and have had some relative success, gotten very close, but it's tough to beat my brother and my brother-in-law. Those guys are beasts. In the 5 years I've been in the league, either they have won it or one other guy has won it. So only three people have won my league in about 5 years. And all two, I know my brother has two and my brother-in-law has the other two. So really tough league to be in. Those guys are on the injury wire and everything all the time. So I have some success in fantasy football, played fantasy basketball for the last about 4 years. And that has opened my eyes to everybody outside the Laker organization. So we'll talk about that. The only one I haven't played, I've played golf and a few others, but I have not played fantasy baseball, and I'm actually interested in giving it a shot. If there's some listeners out there, if you have a league and you have an opening, let me know. And if there's not something like that, maybe we can set something up. And maybe we can, pimp it on our website, sportscardradio.com. And maybe that's something we can do. We got a little bit of time. But if you're interested in like a fantasy baseball, I've never played it before. So I'd like to give it a shot. I'd like to maybe watch some other teams outside the Giants. If the Giants suck, I want a reason to watch baseball this year. So that's one of the biggest things about fantasy sports, is what it does is it opens up your horizon to everybody in the league. Now, if you're not a major sports watcher and you only focus on one team, fantasy sports is a great way to expose yourself to other players on other teams. Now, let me give you an example. Before I played fantasy football, I knew every single Bengal player. I knew everybody from the backup center to the long snapper to the third string quarterback. I knew everybody. But now I probably know a little bit less about the Bengals, and it's because I've been focusing on fantasy football, and because you draft players, or you know, sometimes there's automatic drafts, or however you draft your team, you're going to end up with a group and a mix of players throughout the league, and you're going to have to get to know these players. And sometimes you get to know them and you realize, wow, this guy really is a good player. This guy's outstanding. First of all, I wish he was on my team, but since he's not, maybe I can capitalize him in the sports card market. And that's something that it's not easy to do, but you got to realize, like we talked about earlier, because of fantasy sports popularity growing, therefore people are more like in my situation, in your situation, you have grown from just knowing the players on your team, maybe the players in your division or the players you see a lot in your area, to now you know players across the whole league on every team, the good and the bad teams. So you find yourself rooting for other teams. I know I've watched many games that I would have never watched and never cared about. Monday night football games. I was watching the Boston Celtics and the Toronto Raptors last night. I was watching the New Jersey Nets and some like Oklahoma Thunder last night. I mean, two games I would have never watched in my whole life, but I've got fantasy guys on both teams, sometimes multiples going 3-4 ways. So it's exciting to watch, especially if you're doing well in your league and you're invested heavily. Some of these leagues cost money, and I highly, if you can afford it, get into a league that has some money on the line, because if you can win it, you can win a lot of money, especially if it's a pretty deep league. In my football league, I can win $400 or $500 if I win it off $40-$50. So, you want to keep an eye on that. Don't overspend on your budget, but if you got a little extra money to spend, it's good to put money on these things. But as the popularity of fantasy grown, we've seen the popularity of players grown. We've definitely seen it in football, because fantasy football is definitely very popular. Same with fantasy baseball, but I know fantasy football, because it's all on one day, it's on a Sunday, it's on a day that a lot of people get off, and they're able to watch football all day long, track their fantasy team. It's very interesting. And how you want to convert that is if you see some fantasy guys that are kind of getting some fantasy pub, maybe they're on kind of the sleeper watch, or they're, maybe the starter got injured and now this guy's going to get an opportunity. We could go down the line. Off the top of my head, Willie Parker is a guy that got an opportunity just off nowhere. Willie Parker came into superstardom. All of a sudden, his card's blasted up. Tim Lincecum, kind of the same way. We talked about him extensively on the show. He ended up winning the Cy Young. And there's lots of people that we have shouted out on the show. As a complete side note, if you've listened to this show, I hope you've gained some information. But the one thing, we kind of gloss over it very quickly. Sometimes we run down players. For instance, I know before the basketball season, I mentioned three basketball players, Rodney Stuckey, Aaron Aflalo, and Charlie Villanueva. And now Rodney Stuckey, this was before the basketball season even started. Rodney Stuckey is tearing it up. Go look at his stats. Rodney Stuckey, I know people are calling him like Baby Wade. This guy is really good. A little inconsistent still, but you can tell if he got some more minutes. The Detroit Pistons are very deep. So we'll see about Rodney. But that's a guy I kind of discovered because I watched fantasy basketball and I was looking for guys that I want to draft kind of in those lower rounds. It's obvious, in especially fantasy basketball and probably baseball and football, it's always obvious who the top picks are going to be. The Adrian Petersons, LeBron James, in baseball, you know, like the Manny Ramirez, Alex Rodriguez kind of guys. But it's those lower rounds where if you make some really big calls like Rodney Stuckey, nobody was talking about him. Now he's a big-time fantasy player, especially if he stays healthy. And some of these Detroit Piston guys are getting a little old in the tooth. So Rodney and Charlie Villanueva doesn't play very many minutes, but doesn't start. But go look at his stats projected out to 48 minutes, and you'll be blown away. This guy is absolutely filling it up in minimum time. And I've also shouted out guys like Nate Robinson. He's struggled as of late. He's lost his shot a little bit, but he's a streaky guy. I'm sure he'll get his touch back and he'll find his rhythm again, but he's been really ice cold the last few weeks. But we shout out guys on this show, and a lot of that comes from me playing fantasy sports. So I encourage you to get involved, especially in a sport you know a little bit about. And especially if you don't know anything at all about it, it'll expose more of the game to you. Now, there is a little bit of pent-up demand. We definitely see it in football as rookies start to explode. Chris Johnson, Matt Ryan, Joe Flacco, guys like that. O.J. Mayo in basketball, Tim Lincecum in baseball, you know, some of those Tampa Bay Devil Ray guys, Longoria, and all the guys that they had that started to explode on that team. You know, their fantasy value goes up. Chances are that, you know, I don't know what the percentages are, but say you have 1 million people that play fantasy baseball, I would say probably 100,000, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit more, probably collect sports cards as well. So their awareness starts going up, especially if their success in fantasy continues to do well for them. It's something that definitely does drive card prices because the awareness starts growing about these players. They start getting on those ESPN bits and all those stations that have little fantasy bits. Not only are you getting the highlights of that player, but you're also getting fantasy bits. So the more this player starts to get exposed, more people start to see him, more sports card collectors start to see it, and more people start to get on board. And it all hinges on what kind of cards they have and how good the manufacturers are doing it, but that all kind of comes and goes, and there's always at least one or two good cards to collect of everybody. So fantasy sports is definitely a big driver of that. I highly, highly recommend it's something you get involved in. If it's not something you get involved in, just try to do one. Just join like a Yahoo, or there's tons of sites you can join fantasy football. And it's actually something I'm really interested in designing websites for because I think there's a little bit of a gap there. I think Yahoo does a good job, but there's some things missing. And I think I can design some pretty slick websites that could provide the news, all the stats, everything to you in a pretty clean way. So it might be something I'm working on as a side project. But fantasy sports, check it out. Join a public league. It's one of those things that's kind of no pressure. There'll be like thousands of people in your league. You can join kind of a smaller group as well of maybe, you know, a couple hundred or less. And just see how it goes, kind of see how it works and get the flow of it. And then as time goes on, you'll know that more of your friends and other people play it and you can start to get involved in those leagues. And it's also a good way to keep in touch. And it's kind of a side part. You know, I set up a fantasy basketball league and about half of the members are from another country. There's my phone going off. This show is full of background noise, so I apologize if you can hear my phone going off in the background. I usually put it on silent. Obviously, I did not, but you can keep in touch with fantasy football. You know, I have friends that live outside the country, and we're doing fantasy basketball together, so we can smack talk together and, you know, make some trades, and it's a way to keep in touch, so I highly recommend it. And again, fantasy baseball, I really want to get involved. Someone send me an email if you're involved in a league, kind of maybe low pressure, since I've never done it before. I really don't want to look to spend a huge amount of money getting in one. I'm willing to pay, you know, south of $50 to get involved in one, because it is a long season, and it would be kind of cool to be involved in fantasy baseball. So send me an email, and if you're interested, maybe if we've got a group of us that maybe not involved in a league and we want to get one going, send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com, and maybe we'll put one together. After this, we are going to talk about error cards and some of the notorious ones through the past and the present, and that will be after this.
Friday night, I'm going nowhere. All the lights are changing, green to red. Turning over TV stations, situations running through my head. Looking back through time, you know it's clear that I've been blind, I've been a fool. To open up my heart to all that jealousy, that bitterness, that ridicule.
And welcome back, everybody. We're going to talk a little bit about error cards. And, you know, there's been plenty of error cards, especially in baseball. Baseball has a rich history of cards, as you all know. One of the most famous, if not the most famous card, the Honus Wagner, way back when, 1909 or whatever the year is on that baby, is actually somewhat of an error card. It wasn't, he didn't want his picture on these cards that were getting distributed in tobacco products. So that card was meant to be pulled. That's why that one is worth considerably bit more than most of those cards, although they're all worth quite a bit of money. So an interesting tidbit there. But some of the more recent, more famous error cards, back in the 90s, one of the biggest ones was the Frank Thomas No Name on Front out of the 1990 top set. Pretty much just a horrible set. Didn't really have anything of interest in it, except when you opened up the Beckett, you noticed there was this Frank Thomas error card worth $700, which was a lot of money back then. It has gone up and down, but still holds quite a bit of value because there is not very many of them. I don't know the full story behind the whole card. I think I remember reading an article, but my memory fails me at the moment. But that Frank Thomas No Name on Front has got to be one of the most famous error cards. It still has some decent value. Another very notorious error card from that era is the Billy Ripken 1989 Fleer card. There are several versions of the card, but the main one, it's card number 616, and the main one that acquired the most attention was he was holding a bat, and then on the bottom of the bat narrow, there was some explicit language, and that's the one that garnered a lot of attention and had a huge value at some point, and it's fallen off, and it's a very common card these days and now worth a whole bunch. Now kind of fast-forwarding a little bit, Topps, obviously, as more jersey and autograph cards and serial-numbered cards, and also the number of sets has also increased over the years, error cards have lost their appeal. But back in the 80s and 90s, I mean, you had like top series 1, 2, and 3, and maybe you were lucky and had a Fleer, and maybe in football you had Score and Pro Set, but that was about it. You didn't have Exquisite and all these crazy brands. I mean, each brand has like 20 different subsets this year, so it wasn't like that. So error cards had a lot of appeal there because they were a truly unique card, and they were only error cards if they went corrected. That's what a lot of people don't know about error cards, is there's plenty of uncorrected error cards where they misspell a name or something that just goes through the entire print run and they never correct it. Well, back in those days, they used to correct it. They used to maybe batch out 10,000 cards and then realize they made a mistake, just let those cards go out on the market, and then correct the card so future production runs had a corrected version of that card. And that's where those error cards got a lot of their value, because things were corrected. Or, you know, in the case of a Frank Thomas No Name on Front, it was probably just a small error that only affected a very small amount of cards, and that's why that error card is worth quite a bit. And there's just a lot more sets today, and as we said, a lot more jersey cards and autograph cards that kind of have made error cards go away, although Topps in particular keeps trying. I call them the manufactured error cards these days. I believe, and it's well-known rumor, that Topps does many a things making you think it's an error card or it's a slip in the production, but it was actually done intentionally. In 2006, Alex Gordon was a very hot baseball rookie, and the new Major League Baseball rules required a guy to have played in the major leagues to have an official rookie card. Well, there was some gray area, and there was some early sets that were out that were supposed to have Alex Gordon rookies in them. Well, when the MLB changed their rules, Topps had to pull the cards out. Now, it would make sense to just pull the card out, right? Don't you think? Well, what Topps did is they actually kept the card, but they cut his face out, or they cut, you know, kind of around the border. So all you were left with was kind of a cut. They call them cutout cards, where the top layer of the card is actually cut out and that's inserted in. I'm sure they claim it's accidental and it was slipped into the print run accidentally, but box prices of that 2006 Topps product was flying through the roof. Same with LeVar Arrington in football. He did not sign with the NFLPA for some reason. I don't think he ever did, which is a pretty silly thing to do, but he decided not to do that. And so companies were not allowed to manufacture cards of his, and so there was a similar LeVar Arrington cutout card. I think it was an Upper Deck product. I could be wrong. And there's been plenty of other examples. Every year in Topps, you have some funky little, you know, Jeter Mantle Bush, or I think there was a Mayor Giuliani kind of slip card that was made last year. So I'm sure they'll have all kinds of things. Every year, Topps is trying to make that manufactured error card. But hopefully that gives you a little bit of information on error cards. I don't think they're going to come back. You'll see glimpses of them, whether they're intentional or unintentional by the manufacturers. You'll see some errors here and there. Nobody's perfect. No company is perfect. What kind of value they have will depend on, you know, obviously, I think the player on the front and the severity, or, you know, how rare that error card is intended to be. So I still, if you gave me a choice between the best error card or the best rookie card in a year, I'm going to take the best rookie card. So I don't think they're going to have much appeal going forward, although they do have their stamp in baseball card collecting, and probably all card collecting for that part. So hopefully you enjoyed that short segment on error cards. When we come back, we're going to talk briefly about the Beckett site, which I have recently frequented. And we'll talk about that, and we'll break it out after this.
Have I got a little story for you? What you thought was your daddy was nothing but a, while you were sitting home alone at age 13.
And we're back. We're going to wrap things up real quick. Beckett went back to their site maybe a couple days ago, been back maybe once or twice since then. One thing I did notice, the site's cleaned up a little bit. They've added a few more icons along the top, and they've cleaned it up a little bit. It runs probably a little bit smoother than it did. Still looks like they're in the testing stage for most of it, but looks good. I wouldn't say it looks great. I wouldn't call it our the hobby's flagship website. I don't think the hobby has one at this point. I think Beckett was that before. I think their website was really cool, very simple. You notice the number one website, the number one most frequented website in the world is google.com, and there couldn't be a plainer site to visit. Very easy site to go to, and I think not that Beckett was plain or simple, but it was much more well presented, I think, before. They're trying to go with all this web 2.0 stuff that really isn't caught on or really isn't even developed at this point. So, but I will say that they have made some improvements in the last few months, some noticeable ones. One thing I did notice, if you do like to trade cards, Beckett, I think, was trying to at least have the idea that they were going to charge for trades on their site. It looks like they're going to the complete free model. So it actually might be a good place to trade cards. So if you're looking to get involved in a message board, the message boards were still okay. I have a problem with it. I won't go into it on air, but if you go to the message boards, you'll realize that the topics, there's a topic box and it's far too large. They need to cut it in half so you can click on a message, and then what happens is you click on a topic and then it shows up below the rest of the topics. So they need to cut that in half so when I click on a message, I can start reading the topics instead of scrolling all the way down to the bottom of the page. Not a very smart thing. Whoever they have designing their websites, obviously not maybe an expert at some things, but not experts at all things. So we're going to wrap it up, and that's about it. That's about all I got on the Beckett site, and we are going to, that's about it. You know, I think we've had enough today. So visit our websites, NorCalSportsShop.com. Plenty of single cards, plenty of other things. I will be getting to that site shortly, adding some of our new products, some of our new, just some things that I got around here that I need to get out on the web. Visit sportscardradio.com, the future home of this show. And hopefully you will send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Let me know what you want to see on our websites. Let me know anything else you want to hear. I am out of here. Have a great week or weekend. I'll talk to you guys soon. Good luck with your collection. See you guys later.